Lynn Wilson, who's meeting with the Waverley Noble Planning Panel. As you probably all realise by now, the planning panel is comprised of independent expert members who are not members of the council, but in their respective rights have an expertise that they bring to the consideration of the matters. And I'll ask each one of the individual panel members to introduce themselves. First of all, my name is Angus Talbot. I'm the chairman of the panel. My background is in the law. I did various things, but probably the most relevant thing to this particular appointment is having been a judge of the Land and Environment Court for 15 years. I'll move from left to right and ask Mr. Stapleton to indicate shortly his criteria.
Ian Stapleton, I'm a registered architect of about 40 years' experience. I've got a particular speciality in heritage. I also have some qualifications in planning law, and I sit on a number of planning panels around metropolitan Sydney.
Thank you. Ms. Morrish.
Gabrielle Morrish. I'm an urban designer and an architect. I'm on a number of panels around Sydney as well, and I'm an environment court expert.
Ms. Robinson.
Sandra Robinson. I'm the community rep on the Waverley panel. I'm also a qualified town planner. I have my own planning consultancy, and I'm an expert member of other planning panels.
Thank you. Each item will be dealt with in the order that they appear on the agenda. Only those people who have been registered to speak will be entertained. Each person will be given a 3-minute period of time. Normally there's a clock somewhere, perhaps there isn't today. There is. There'll be a noise. And once that noise occurs, then you're expected to finish up so that the meeting is finished within the appropriate time that's stipulated. After the submissions have been heard, the panel will retire and the decisions will be made considering what the panel has seen on site today, having visited each one of the subject sites, having considered the various submissions that have been made, the applications themselves, and the reports of the council officers and the submissions that will be made to us this afternoon. And the results and the outcome in respect of each application will be published on the council's website tomorrow, hopefully, although that doesn't always occur. But the object is to try and get it there by tomorrow. Now, the first development application that comes for our consideration relates to number 292302, Oxford Street, Bondi Junction. I note that there are no objectors to speak, but there's a plethora of people who wish to speak on behalf of the applicant. I'm entitled to assume that perhaps one spokesperson might be able to cover the field, unless there's something particular about the expertise or point that somebody wants to make, but I'd be surprised if we needed to hear from all of those people. So having said that, the first person who's listed is Mr. Jadeagan. Do you wish to cover the field, or would someone else cover the field?
It'll be Mr. Brad Daintree.
Mr. Brad Daintree. All right, okay. Well, in that case, Mr. Daintree, you've got the floor. Thank you.
In simple terms, panel, thank you for the time. We accept the conditions recommended by staff and the recommendations of staff, and we're happy to answer any specific questions. Mr. Howe, the project architect, is present and is across the technical issues as well. The owners are present as well, if required. And,
all right, well, I'll see if there's any questions, first of all, from the panel.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
I'm looking at the proposed two additional floors. The apartment on the northeast corner has a terrace which is very close to the neighbour's terrace. I acknowledge this happens all the way down the building. But how was that considered satisfactory?
Sorry,
Can I just ask you that?
Northeast corner.
Northeast corner of your block, there's a terrace which is very close to the terrace of your neighbour at 304 to 310 Oxford Street. I acknowledge that happens all the way down the building, but what induced you to think that was very satisfactory?
This is, if we can take you to an indicative level,
drawing DA01.19.
106 of your agenda.
106. The drawing numbers aren't there.
And drawing number is DA01.11-00.
Say that again.
1.1100.
Yes, page 106.
106. They've got little numbers
so
here.
So just referring to the same plan.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're now looking at apartment L53, typical.
Maybe.
And there's the question relates to, I assume, there's two terraces shown in the northeast corner. One has a glass balustrade wrapping around it.
Yeah, that's the one.
So you're not concerned about the one off L53, you're concerned about the one off L51.
That's right.
Thank you. So we did actually propose on that. There was in the original application and the original various plans that went to council, there was actually a planter on that corner to provide some screening with the other apartment. Then we later on the suggestions of council staff, that also had a screen there. Council staff suggested that was not necessary because of the screening on the apartments now built, or the apartment buildings now built. So there was a visual separation, and we believe that the distance separation would have been adequate for the acoustics. That answers your question.
I noticed this morning that didn't appear to be any screen on the neighbour.
There have been quite a number of Section 86 applications for the neighbouring property. In answer to your question, yes, we did provide originally privacy screening on the edge of that balcony. In numerous meetings with council staff, they suggested they made a suggestion that they considered that to remove the screening, which we did, we would have no problem whatsoever if the committee suggested that that balcony had privacy screening.
Thank you.
Without indicating anything, does it matter if it goes back to you? The screen goes back?
As I said, I have no issue at all.
No, righto. Thank you. Just want to. Yes.
That's all, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Could I just make a suggestion of wording if it's going to be a modifying condition on the consent?
We haven't made up our mind, but go on, you tell us what you think.
That it be translucent glazing to a height of 1.7 metres. We have, as you see on the plan, we have two panels of glass.
How high?
1.7. We have two panels of glass in that section of screening, and we just ask that. Well, we think the 1.7 would probably be an adequate height for
existing.
Thank you.
Thank you. I actually have a question in regards to the plan DA01109-00 and page 38 of the report, which includes on the number 2 a general modification condition, A.
I'm just referring to the plan.
Page 38 of the report, and it's condition 2, general modifications, A.
That's the layout of apartment 308 is to be amended to provide access from the living area to the balcony which adjoins the light well.
Does that relate to this layout, or is that a condition from the previous layout? Because it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense.
We went through this.
Yes, so originally on the original set before this current DA approval, the apartment was actually around the other way, so we had the living areas into the light well, because in our opinion it provided a south-facing apartment with solar access, which we thought was the appropriate position. One of the previous planning panels had an issue with that on the acoustics, and it was the design review panel had an issue with that on the acoustics, and there was a condition to have the living areas facing the south, so there wasn't a conflict, acoustic conflict, with the noise from the light well. We don't have any. We there's another condition currently in to require.
Well, just listen to the suggestion that might come.
So basically the condition is no longer relevant to the plans in front of us now, but there is now a bedroom in a light well which is directly against the ADG. So would you object if there was a condition, or would you have issues if there's a condition applied to this which would require this to be converted to a studio as the same layout as you've got on the other
units? We don't have an issue with that at all.
Thank you.
Sandra?
Nothing from me.
Anything further you wish to that came out of all of that? Thank you. The panel will reserve its decision. Thank you. Yes, you're excused.
Thank you.
The next development to be considered by the panel, the next development application, relates to Eastgate Residential Towers, 55 to 91 Spring Street, Bondi Junction. No people listed to address, either on behalf of the applicant or the objector, and the panel reserves its decision and will be published on the website. Item number 3 is 15 Ocean Street, Bondi, and the only person listed to speak is Alex Smith, architect on behalf of the owners. Mr. Smith, are you here? Thank you. Come forward, please. Now is your hour.
It's actually 19, not 15.
What did I say?
15.
No, you can't do it at 15, but we'll consider it at 19. Thank you.
Thank you. So we've got a recommendation for refusal, but we're a bit perplexed. We've got an application that is FSR compliant, height compliant, landscaping and open spaces compliant. The main areas of concern appear to be the entrance that accesses the building, which is down a side path. I feel that the comments on that may be a bit subjective, and some people would actually like to have their own entrance in the back of the landscaped garden for their own unit. So there's that issue. And the other issue is lack of communal open space. As the report says, there is no communal open space currently. And the area in the backyard is divided up there. Some of the ground floor units are using some of it, but it is not the most desirable sort of place to be when you've got a newly built 9-storey building on one side and 3 and 4 storeys all around you. There's also 2 very nice parks within 100 metres of the site. And there's a few things in the report that we feel are incorrect, and that is that there is no private open space proposed for the new unit. That's not true. And they've got landscaped open area, there's screen walls, and there's landscape shown on our drawings. And there is sunlight coming in, there's northern sunlight. We feel that... and the other thing to mention is next door where they've built this new building, to get to the entrance of that, you have to walk through between 2 houses down a long pathway, just as far as what we have to walk. They've also had a recent approval for a similar style ground floor extension out the back for a unit. So there's a lot of features that have been approved and built next door that we are getting told is not desirable. There are no impacts caused to anyone around us, and we feel that the recommendation for refusal is unfair.
Thank you. Mr. Stapleton. No questions. Maureen?
I have one question. Do you comply with the deep soil requirements?
We do, yes. And I sent through, I don't know whether you've seen it, but I was asked yesterday to send through some calculations, which I did. I can hand it to you if you want.
I've just got it from last time.
You got it?
Sandra?
No.
No questions. Thank you. Thank you for your assistance, and the panel will consider all of the matters that have been put to it. Mr. Smith. Item number 4 relates to the property at 102 Hastings Parade, North Bondi. Again, only the applicant representative is listed to speak, and that's Adam Richards on behalf of the owner. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm also the owner. It's in my wife's name, so...
Doesn't sound like you're the owner if it's in her name.
Yeah, well...
Anyway, that's not a point for us.
Sure. I've only got 3 points, really. First of all, my family of five, including my wife, the owner. We've got two cars, and we've only had one car space approved, and you know, it just doesn't really work for us. And we sort of look around the street, we see so many of these other places within sight of our house that have all got two car spaces approved and carports with semi-detached buildings. There's some points in the raised by the council that have changing our requirements in the original VA, and there's a personal reason for that. My mother's down in a wheelchair, so she's stumbling down the street. So that's one of the main changes, but that's probably a minor point. I guess the planning framework. The 2 points really I wanted to make was a DCP control that says for houses with or dwellings with three or more bedrooms, two spaces are required, and that's what we propose. That's clause 1.11.1A. And the other really, I think, key point is that clause 1.11.2D that says that a carport forward of the building line may be permitted where there's a predominance of this form of off-street parking in the immediate vicinity of the site. And the council staff seem to just refer to that as what you can see in that image pretty much. But when you stand out in front of the streets, I believe that independent people do have a look at the streetscape. I just took these photos, and these are the big ones, the ones in the immediate vicinity, which you can see standing out the front, looking side to side, and then when you stand across the street and look left to right. There's fully enclosed double garages just within side of the building, another one just next door to that house. That's my old house, actually, across the road, number 102 Hastings. I got that double carport approved through council, which is what I was surprised that this wasn't able to be approved. And these ones are just next door to that, two semis with double carports with doors. This house here has just had a panel lift door approved for it. And these ones are, you know, fully enclosed garages. And then the rest of Hastings Parade, there's all these other ones that have got these double carports at zero setback.
Are you making that available to us?
Yeah, well, that's in the statement of environmental.
Oh, it is. Yes. It's the same one, is it?
Yes. Yeah, I've got all those photos.
I thought you said you'd
nicely,
just taken it. I'm sorry, I misunderstood. I misunderstood.
No, I'm not.
Just leave it there.
Yes, that's really all I wanted to say.
All right.
There's one point that I didn't put in the DA, which was, if you look at the windows there, they put a requirement in, it was clause 4 of the deferred commencement conditions. And I think if you do approve a carport, that clause probably needs to be removed, so it wouldn't be relevant anymore. That's the only other point. Yeah, so it was in the commencement conditions. It was just saying the window needs to be the same as that one next door. You can't see with the tree in front of it, which would probably be a requirement. It doesn't need to be there anymore. But it doesn't matter if it's there or not. It just seemed inconsistent.
But that wasn't part of your application?
It wasn't part of my application.
Mr. Stapleton?
I have a question. You just said you wanted two car spaces, but I've just worked out from your dimensions you've only got 4,750 width.
Well, it's a 6 metre wide property, and the carport's got...
Yes, well, that's how many the Building Code of Australia... That's how wide the Building Code of Australia requires for two cars.
What did you say the dimension was again,
Bert? I work it out 4,750.
And it needs, doesn't need to be 2.5 metres per car? Because you've got that, you've got 6 metres and it's got an open side to the carport.
So you're going to park a... Although you're showing one car, you're going to park all over the front path.
Well, you would park a car, your cars next to each other, and then they would have room to open the doors.
So they don't meet any standard.
It
may be your standard, but it's not the Australian standard on parking cars.
We've got to
think about the future. You sell this property and two people bring in two big cars.
Yeah, but the car parking space is actually, there's only a part that's 900 mil, and so it's 5.1 metres.
No more questions.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you for your assistance, Mr. Richards, and the panel will consider your submissions and make its decision accordingly.
Okay.
Thank you. Matter number 5 relates to the property 142 Brighton Boulevard, and Jane Johnson is listed to speak.
I'm sorry.
No, Jane Johnson?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, yes, well, come ahead. Okay. Yes. Yeah. I don't know what that other lady's doing. I only want you.
I actually came here because I...
Wait till you get here. I can't hear you.
Okay, so Jane Johnson, I'm the architect for the...
yes, thank you.
And I'm interested to speak in case the...
Well, you have to speak up. You're not coming across.
I'm registered to speak only if the people are right there with the smiles, and there's all kinds of smiles here. I'll just speak if there are any questions. And if there are any questions,
it says you're speaking on behalf of Jane Johnson.
Yep. Jane Johnson Architects. So I'm Jane Johnson.
You're Jane Johnson speaking on behalf of Linda Goddard.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Linda Goddard is the advocate. She's my client.
Yes, and you want to speak on her behalf.
Yes.
No one else wishes to speak.
No.
No.
Yes.
So you want to say anything or not?
So I'm here because normally the person, the applicant, speaks after the objector.
There's no objector listed.
Okay. Well,
so therefore, normally, we're not acting normally. Do you want to speak or not?
I need the panel has questions.
Oh, well, that's all right. Mr. Stapleton, do you have any questions?
I've got no questions.
Oh, there you go.
I have one question.
Yes, thank you.
On the DA09, you're indicating a climber, I think, that's going to be established for the fence.
Yes.
I'm just wondering how you're going to actually provide enough soil to
the... So there's a planter bed at the far western end.
Yep.
And there's a planter bed at the far eastern end.
I see. So you're relying on planting from there growing along the fence line.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
I have one question. You drafted the clause 4.6?
Yes, with the help of planner.
Right. Unfortunately, it refers to a now superseded objective for the standard.
Can you look at the page?
Sure. If you go to page 5 of the written request, the objective mentioned the heading 3.1, and so objective C talks about the existing character of the locality.
Yeah.
In December 2017, Council actually amended the OEP and it talks about future character. And that seems like a small issue, but we have quite strict constraints in terms of supporting clause 4.6 variations. And I might ask our chair...
Well, it's not actually a clause 4.6 application if it doesn't comply with the requirement to address that objective. So we have no clause 4.6 before us. therefore we're not able to determine it.
Okay, and so it's the objective, it's the 3.1 you're interested in?
Yeah, if you actually look at legislation website and pull out the objectives of the FSR standard, you'll see that that C is different. And we must have a clause 4.6 that reflects the actual objectives. And you need to use the words from the actual objectives.
Your problem's on page 5. Have you got your 4.6? Page 5. In the middle of the page, 3.1, objectives of the standard, and C talks about existing character of the locality.
Yeah.
That's been amended.
So it's a future.
So we're
told. Yeah. I think I suggest you look at the actual LET. What typically happens is the planner that assisted you may have given you a copy of an old clause 4.6 that they might have done in 2017. But in the end of 2017, that objective changed.
Okay, so what's the
Well, you need to make an application to us to indicate whether you're going to do something about it. Because at the moment, you'll be refused because we perceive that the 4.6 does not meet the requirements under the law.
Mr. Chairman, could it be deferred?
It could be deferred, yes, but it's a matter for...
Okay, so it really is just the wording in that clause C that's got us into trouble.
Yeah.
You've got to address it.
Yeah, we can.
On the basis of future.
Yeah, we have addressed that elsewhere in the DA.
We have.
It has to be enforced.
But nevertheless, you still have to indicate that you're addressing the correct objective of the development standard.
Yeah.
You do happen to pick it up.
Yeah. We do.
Subsequently, at. Page 6, under objective of the...
You actually use the correct objective on page 6.
Yes.
So you've got both versions of it. So
you just...
Yeah, we don't have any flexibility on it.
Right.
And the other thing, if it is to be redrafted, I think you also need to really carefully look at the wording of Objective D, which talks about preserving the environmental amenity. In a number of places you talk about the impact being acceptable. What the objective is actually asking you to do is preserve it.
Preserve is a rather absolute term.
Just for the neighbours you're obliged to preserve it. So I think it just needs a really careful...
rewording.
Really critical review of it and using the actual objectives.
Yeah.
You need to be seen to be addressing the correct criteria.
Yeah.
Even if you think you have.
Okay, so it sounds like until the clause 4.6 variation was written, that's got us a bit of a hiccup. So is it possible if it's deferred?
If that's what you'd prefer us to do, we're of a mind to allow you the time.
Yeah.
And we'd allow 21 days in order for you to consider the applicant's position in relation to the 4.6 request.
Mr. Chair, there's just one other thing that seems we have time, advise Ms. Johnson. The recommended conditions of consent overlooked the what used to be called 94A contribution, 1% contribution. The next version of the report will include that, so you might just advise your client that that 1% levy would be added to the recommendation.
No, thank you. I'm told there's somebody who hasn't registered who wishes to speak.
Which explains my confusion, because the reason I came to speak was
As I pointed out to you, no one registered. There still isn't anybody registered, but I've got a note that said there's someone to speak. So I'll deal with that out of order application now. Who's here?
Me.
Sorry, you have to speak up.
Sorry, Cassandra Smiles.
Yes, Cassandra Smiles, yes.
On behalf of her mother, she owns 144
Brighton
Boulevard.
Right.
We are...
That's next door.
Yes, and I'll have to apologise to you. This notification of the meeting was sent to the wrong address.
Was it?
So we... My mother owned...
So you wish to make some points on behalf of your mother?
That's right.
Okay. Well, I'm prepared to do that.
Thank you.
Give you your 3 minutes. So they're starting now. If you're ready to go, now's it.
Okay.
And you're Cassandra.
Cassandra.
And that's on behalf of Kay.
On behalf of Kay.
Thank you. You're in.
Thank you.
You've got 3 minutes.
I haven't really prepared anything.
Well, just give us the points. We'll understand them.
Okay, right. The main issue is that house, 144, is a heritage listed house that we've renovated over the past few years. We spoke with Colin Brady. I think he was the planner at the time, and we worked with him to make sure that the house was preserved.
Right, and what's the problem with the proposed development in that context?
It's quite imposing on the house. The new balcony comes out quite a bit further than it does currently. It's already quite noisy on the balcony. It feels like your neighbours are next, like in the same house. So we're quite concerned about that element of privacy, and also just being able to spend time outside. And also on the first floor, it's quite just having the doors open, it would be quite imposing to have a bigger balcony and closer to the closer to the house. That makes sense, sorry. And also I think that they're proposing to bring the house out a metre or so to the side. Again, like the... my mum was saying that her biggest issue is like if the property came out to... I think it's about a metre to this side, and then we can facilitate having that new walkway and so forth. Then the top level could potentially also put another story on top. That makes sense. And that would be quite an issue for my mum, who lives at the back. Four Bay Street. That's where she's living at the moment. So I guess it's...
I'm sorry, how does Four Bay Street get into
this? Four Bay Street is behind us. So
I see. So your mother lives in Four Bay Street.
Yeah, she's...
What do you live in 144, do you?
I don't, but my mother owns...
Oh, she owns?
She owns it.
I see. All right, I've got it.
Yeah, and then it would be considerably bulkier from that perspective.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Sorry.
No, it's all right. Don't go away. There may be questions. Any questions, Mr. Stapleton? No, I think I understand what was said. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. All right.
No, thank you.
Good. Thank you for your assistance. And the panel will defer the final consideration of this matter for 21 days. And hopefully we'll be able to deal with the matter electronically when and if an amended clause 14.6 application is lodged. Moving on to the next matter, you all right?
Yeah.
Which relates to the property and application at 4 Victoria Street, Rose Bay. No objections. Objectors are registered to speak. Dr. Viner, please.
Thank you, Doctor. Thank you. We're here to ask that the conditions placed on this property, the proposal be eliminated. The WDAP panel at the last meeting came to the conclusions that in terms of privacy, there's sufficient building separation between the neighbours. The height and FSR has no unacceptable impact outside the property itself, and there's no adverse impact on the general amenity of the surroundings. The problem that we needed to solve and the reasons for the conditions being imposed on the property is that the setback to Gilbert Street is very narrow and needs to be offset by a greater setback on the northern boundary in order to reduce the visual length of the proposal. In other words, the problem we are asked to address is the visual impact of the length of the property. It seems that all of the other matters have been addressed and there's no objection from any neighbours. Now, I think it's very important to tell the panel that the length of the property was addressed by an amendment that has not really been recorded by the council's report. The amendments we did to the property was to reduce the length by 3.24 metres and insert a setback from Gilbert Street of 4.26 metres. The setback...
Can we just show you those? Sorry.
Let's continue. The setback off Gilbert Street has never been recorded on the council's reports. The only mention of the entire amendments that we did to the property, which were submitted in February of 2018, reads as follows. Amended plans were provided which reduced the building length only marginally in the front southeastern corner and the rear first floor level. The exact figures were not recorded of reduction in the length of 3.24 metres, and the setback is not recorded at all. In the only other mention to do with modifications is on page 250, and it says the modifications, if approved, are substantially the same development as the original consent. And I think that the council was really looking at the FSR and not at the problem at hand. The modifications we did were specifically made to address the visual appearance and and exactly what the panel wanted us to do. In other words, the setback to Gilbert Street is very narrow to address that 4.26 metre setback. Now, I think that the property cannot be seen certainly cannot be seen from Catherine Park. The reserves opposite us are unused. The entire length of the building cannot really be seen from any vantage point because of the setbacks that we've introduced. I think we should talk about the modification.
I think you should need to bring it, bring your submission into an encapsulated form, Doctor. The buzzer's gone.
Thank you. The modification asked us to reduce the northern end to 7 metres. I don't think anyone's really looked at the implications of that. The implications of that is that living room will be reduced from the current already reduced 5 metres to 1.5 metres in depth. That requires a complete redrawing of the entire property. It's impossible to carry out these modifications. I think that the modifications are not necessary in that the building as it is impacts on no one. It cannot be seen. The length is of no impact to anyone. The building is not bulky. Most of it's underground. The neighbours are perfectly happy. We've reduced the side from 12 metres facing north to a 6 metre building. I think it's unnecessary for the modifications to be placed and that the modifications are causing a complete redraw of the whole property and basically are impossible to put into place.
Thank you. Mr. Mr. Stapleton.
No questions.
Thank you for your assistance, and as I said earlier, with all of these, the panel will take into account your submissions as well as all of the other material, and it will be published on the website tomorrow. Next matter.
I actually registered also. Am I allowed to have 1 minute?
Oh, I see. All right.
As his wife. But I have 1 minute.
Yeah, I'm giving you a minute.
Okay. I'm just going to read through the sheet at this point.
You're not registered, actually.
Yeah, I am. I registered.
No, you're not registered.
Okay. Okay,
so I've got the register.
Oh, okay, well,
you might have registered, you think, but you're not registered. I'm just making the point that I'm making a concession to you, and I'm being a very nice person.
You are, and I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Go.
I'll try and do quick. Okay.
Go.
From my point of view, we've not seen evidence that council truly understands the ramifications for us of the condition of needing to build the upper level back 7 metres. The main purpose of this development is to provide an upper retirement level for an older couple to downsize in their community. We've lived there for 20 years. There's no downsizing accommodation in Dover Heights. Building a minimum 7 metres setback leaves our living room 1.5 metres deep once the angles are aligned. This means the council's FSR is relying on us as an older couple to use the area down 2 flights of stairs under Gilbert Street as viable living or bedroom space. Further, you're denying the upper level of a harbour view. And in this condition, to build back 7 metres, or is this condition to build back 7 metres so integral to the privacy of 47 Blake Street and the streetscape? We've shown in the application that there are many much longer dwellings in the area, 27, 30, 34, 28. Ours is only 24.
Bring it into summary. If you can.
So this condition is expecting us
to use an FSR. I think your husband made that point.
2 levels down, underground. I did want to say some things I didn't think he had said.
I'm not going to stop you if you've got a point. You don't have to elaborate. Just make the point.
Well, I just read it.
If you've made the points, you don't need to reiterate them over and over again.
Okay, I wasn't aware that I had, but I wanted to say there's 13 metres.
I'll give you 3 dot points. What are the 3 things that are really concerning you?
That the council wants us as a retired couple to live two stories down as part of our FSR, which is essentially under Gilbert Street, if we move back 7 metres.
Yeah, that's 1 point.
That's 1 point. The fact that it's going to reduce our lounge room to 1.5 metres.
Right. The other point?
And the other point is that as a retirement couple, we need to live on one level.
Okay. All right. I think we got that. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Just to see if there are any questions after nothing changed there, Sandra.
No.
So, thank you very much. And of course, we'll also take into account those additional submissions. We're now up to 306 Military Road. I know the objector, we've visited the objector's site, he's not going to speak. The applicant, Alex Smith, for the architect, sir.
Hello again. So I don't really have too much to say because the application is recommended for approval. And,
well, you could talk us out of it.
No, I don't want to do that. The only thing I just wanted to add, because the only issue of non-compliance is a very small portion of the roof, and I don't know whether you've looked at this height plan drawing sheet 7.
Yes.
You have? Yeah. So in terms of the objectors, the small area of non-compliance is not affecting them, either objector. It's on the other side of our property. And when you look at it on this drawing, whilst the number appears high, it's a sloping non-compliance and forms a very small portion that creates no impacts of view or shadow. But other than that, it's a...
What do you think about your 4.6?
Well, after the last person, I'm a bit...
Look at page 14 in our copy of submissions. It's page 5 of your 4.6. Is that right, Sandra?
Yes, I don't think that you have a copy of it in front of you.
I don't, no.
Well, I'll give you a copy,
yeah.
And you can have a look at my yellow...
It wasn't... it was a buyer plan.
Yeah. Where did I find it?
I've got a very...
I've got one.
Marked up version.
Yes, I've got a marked up version. And it's D on page 5. That's now future. Existing. Of the future character of the locality. Words slightly different in some respects. Unless you lodged it after before December 2017, which I don't think you did.
No, it's lodged November.
Right, so what, can you just fill that right on? What?
Well, you might have been here earlier, we gave the applicant an opportunity to deal with it.
So it's relating to the old...
yeah, the wrong standard's been addressed.
Right.
The wrong objective, and I think there's also...
I'm sorry, you're quite right, Ms. Kirsten, correct. It's the wrong objective of the standard.
Right.
You need to go back to the drawing board, because otherwise we're going to refuse it, because we don't have a 4.6 and we don't have the capacity to fix it up.
So can, like the other one, can you defer it to give us the...
Well, if that's what you want me to do...
Resubmit the 4.6.
We'll entertain that application if you make it.
Sure.
We may have some other observations to make in a moment, but I'm certainly prepared to defer it for 21 days to enable you to address the question of the form of the request pursuant to clause 4.6 of the LEP.
Specifically item 2 or what
we're... Well, I'm not saying specifically. I'm just saying,
okay.
Why don't you have another look at it?
Sure.
I'm not going to fix it for you, in other words.
No, that's all right.
You've got to fix it yourself.
Yeah.
We're just indicating that... if you leave it alone, we'll refuse, because we legally don't have a 4.6.
Yes.
You'd like to look at it?
I understand.
We'll
defer
it. Give you 21 days in order to consider the form of the clause 4.6.
Yep.
Are there any questions that anybody has that might be relevant to the further consideration? Yes, thank you,
Chairman. I've got two questions, actually.
Thank you.
The first question is to do with the skillful design test under tenacity in terms of view impacts. So I have a question for you relating to the height of the first floor that you're adding.
Yes.
It appears to me, looking at your section, that you have a very high floor-to-ceiling height within the actual addition. And my question is to you, is it possible to reduce the height of the roof overall and look at a flat roof component which comes down to a 2.7 floor to ceiling height, which is pretty standard in terms of buildings these days, residential buildings, particularly bedrooms, sometimes even lower than that, to reduce the height of that and therefore look at the potential to maintain the horizon water view for the people behind you? Diagonally behind you.
Well, I mean, of course it could be done. The reason we originally did a flat roof and we felt it was out of character with the existing part of the house.
Did you test those? Or did you come through the
room? Well, we didn't have access to the properties behind, so we didn't really test it like that. But
Mr. Smith, you've got 21 days to do the other thing.
Yeah.
I think what Ms. Morris is saying is that. The panel is suggesting that during that same period you might address this issue as well.
Yes.
And then I had one other question. you've got
I'm not cutting you short, am I?
No, that's exactly what I was on first. the orientation of your site means that your new extension is facing east-west in orientation. You seem to have very large glazed areas. How are you going to deal with the solar load? I couldn't see any screens or... shutters and slow angle sun in summer.
Well, we did comply with BASICS. We have a roof overhang and
show that as well. When you review the written request, could you, I would suggest that your planner needs a little bit more than just that one objective. I think objective C needs to be more carefully considered. It talks about preserving the amenity for neighbours, not minimising impacts. Again, use the actual language. There's a reference to medium density character in there. To low density zone. So I think it needs a very careful review, otherwise we'll look at it again and perhaps raise new problems. So a comprehensive review is probably required. And the other point is the just a omission of the 94A 1% levy again. That will go, if it is again recommended for approval, that condition needs to be added. It just seems to have been omitted from the recommendation. Yeah, I mean, it's a standard council requirement.
It's not something you can fix, it's something we will...
We're just advising you.
Yes.
We've noticed that omission. We'll be addressing it.
Right.
Anything further, Mr. Smith?
No, I think I
understand. Not for one day, is it?
I might
grab my mark up too, if you don't mind. Thank you. Thanks. That was the last item on the agenda, and the panel will now adjourn to reflect and consider and determine. The meeting is closed.